South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Tuesday, May 31st, 2021. Some lawmakers in South Sudan react to the passing of the Political Parties Act in the country.
When the bill is referred to the committee, it has to have a public hearing, calling all political parties to accept what is there so that it becomes recommendation of the committee.
And a county commissioner in Orap State is arrested for taking the law into his own hands.
So he came to see himself what is happening, why people call him for help. Then from there, this is where the shooting happened and the guy got injured.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. There is a mixed reaction in the capital, Juba, to the Political Parties Act, which was passed by the South Sudan Transitional National Assembly on Monday. Under the act, a political party must have at least 500 signed eligible voters from two-thirds of all the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas to be fully registered. Some lawmakers argue that the legislation was rushed through the parliament and the required number of members is too high. Others say it is possible for parties to meet the requirement. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
The National Transitional Legislative Assembly on Monday approved an amended version of the 2012 Political Parties Act in accordance with provisions of the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement ahead of general election scheduled to take place next year. The 2022 Political Parties Act covers 7 provisions, including the establishment of political parties, their registration, and their financial allocations for their development and growth. Some lawmakers say the new rule is intended to push out minority political parties before the 2023 election and disagree on the modalities of financing political parties as well as the conditions for a party to be legally registered. Lawmaker Onyoti Adigo with the Democratic Change Party says he wonders whether the Committee on Legislation and Justice held a public hearing to gather the public views on the bill before it was passed.
When the bill is referred to the committee, it has to have a public hearing, calling all political parties to accept what is there so that it becomes recommendation of the committee. But if it is or if it was discussed by the committee alone without public hearing as an important bill, I think it cannot work.
Lawmaker Peter Lomude Francis of Ye County in Central Equatoria State is a member of the National Democratic Movement, which is an affiliate of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, a signatory to the Revitalized Peace Agreement. Francis says the purpose of the Political Parties Act should be to regulate parties' activity rather than obstruct parties' operation. Francis questioned whether it is practical for the parties to register 10 months ahead of the election as is stated in the act.
If you go by the matrix in the agreement, by the 22nd of December this year, the transitional period is coming to an end. So by saying parties are to comply, the registered parties are to comply 10 months, it means you will go for election without being registered, or you will go to election without this law that regulates parties. Number two is on the issue of marginalized groups. You cannot deny the fact that there exist some groups that are not in the politics. So I would like to suggest that this provision of marginalized groups should be maintained.
Paulino Lukudu Obede, the head of the United South Sudan Party, says the ruling party SPLM is taking advantage of having a majority in parliament to block democratic space. Obede tells South Sudan in Focus the act was not passed procedurally because it did not include the views of the other political parties. He says during a recent roundtable discussion organized by the Ministry of Peace Building, the parties recommended that for a political party to fully register, it should have 300 rather than 500 eligible voters from the states and administrative areas.
The problem is the sustainability and the existence and the strength of a political party after registration. By blocking the political parties from registering, which is the free democratic process, then this is giving opportunity for people to have movements, rebellious movements, rather than having a non-armed political party. So yesterday, of course, it was passed this way.
Chapter 2 of the 2012 Political Parties Act, as amended, says registered political parties should be entitled to hold and address public meetings in any area in South Sudan for the purpose of publicizing the political party, and recruiting members and protection by the state security agencies will be provided to hold peaceful meetings. Obede says the act does not cover immunity of the party leader or funding questions.
Money that will go to political parties should be before elections, but in the bill was actually after elections, based on the number of the votes you get. So, which means if the elections could not be free and fair, some of the political parties will not get the money that goes to them through elections.
Despite reservations from some political party leaders, lawmakers from the SPLM says they support the act as approved. Nyayar Johnson from the SPLM, who represent Jungle State in the national parliament, says the required number of members of a political party to register can be achieved.
We know in the East Africa, Kenya has the most population. For you to register a political party in Kenya is not a joke. It's not a tribalist party. So I support the report that said 500 has to go as it is.
The act was passed by an overwhelming majority in the parliament. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Warab State, where authorities say they have arrested the commissioner of Tonj South County for allegedly shooting one person in the area. The Warab State Information Minister says Commissioner Agor Malang took the law into his hands and shot one person in Tonj Town. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Warab State Information Minister Ring Deng Ading says Governor Alewa Yenj ordered Malang's arrest after lifting the commissioner's immunity and suspending him from his duties. Ading says Malang allegedly shot and injured a man at the Lakhan Hotel in Tonj Town on Friday.
The victim had a fight with somebody in the hotel called Lakhan. Then that guy tried to call the commissioner. Then commissioner came instead of calling police or what. So he came to see himself what is happening, why people call him for help. Then from there, this is where the shooting happened and the guy got injured.
Ading says that Malang is in detention. He is cooperating with investigators and will be arraigned in a court of law. Ading is urging residents of Warab to remain calm.
They should be patient enough to wait the result. And then if commissioner is found guilty, then he will go before court because nobody above the law.
Ading says authorities will maintain law and order, and those who abuse the law will face justice.
Nobody above the law. Even myself as a minister, I cannot take law to my hand. Likewise, to everybody, head of department. So we have to be very careful, and the citizens themselves, they should also be careful.
In a letter seen by South Sudan in Focus, Governor Yen said the victim was shot in the chest with a pistol and he is receiving treatment in Juba. Governor Yen also urged law enforcement agencies to follow appropriate legal procedures in the case against Malang. What attacked it is Governor Yen's press secretary.
The commissioner is suspended because of the incident that happened on 27 May at night. I was in Tonj Town, which is Tonj South, where the commissioner, Honorable Agor Malang, accused of shooting the person called John Lemun with a pistol. That is why Honorable Governor lifted the immunity and suspended him.
Attagdi says the governor is working to reduce gun violence through disarmament across the state. He says Governor Yen was also disappointed to see a state government officials involved in the misuse of firearms. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Juba.
From Juba, we move to northern Bahr Ghazal, where the High Court in Awiltown has sentenced a Sudanese national on Monday to death penalty by hanging for allegedly assaulting and killing a 5-year-old girl. The family of the deceased say they are satisfied with the verdict. Sheila Pony attended the court session and has this report for VOA from Awiltown.
Justice Abraham Majur, who presided over the week-long trial, announced the verdict of the convicted killer, 42-year-old Sudanese trader Sabir Abdallah Absin, and his 48-year-old accomplice.
The first convict, Sabir Abdullah, is hereby sentenced to death by hanging. The second sentence is for Omar Mahmoud Omar to 5 years imprisonment for violating Section 140/A of South Sudan Penal Code Act of 2008.
At the start of the trial, the court had that Absin defiled, murdered and disposed of the body of the five-year-old victim in a pit latrine in the Ayuang residential area of Awil town. Prosecutor presented evidence showing this is the third time Abdallah was accused of committing a sexual crime. He was accused of molesting two other girls in the past. Isaac Deng Aliyeth Bak, an advocate of the High Court who attended the trial, says Absin was convicted on several counts.
The first convict, Sabir, was convicted under four sections of the law. That is Section 206, Section 248, and Section 247, plus 48 of the Penal Code Act 2008 of South Sudan.
Monday's court ruling comes a week after a group of South Sudanese youth and child rights activists, journalists, and lawyers started an initiative that advocates for modifying the death penalty for rapists in the country. Family members of the deceased told the South Sudan in Focus that justice had been served. John Deng John, an advocate and a director of the African Center for Legal Studies, says the ruling signifies a major step forward in ensuring that the families of victims of brutal crimes in South Sudan receive justice.
Us as in prosecution counsel teams comprising of 12 advocates, we are satisfied of this judgment. The two convicted have a right to appeal within 15 days to the Court of Appeal, Greater Barkazal, based in Wau. And then if the two convicted fail to submit their appeal within 15 days, the case papers will be sent to the Supreme Court in Juba for the confirmation in accordance to Section 258 of the Code of Criminal Procedure Act. And then after the case reaches to Juba, the President of the Supreme Court, and then who is also the Chief Justice of the Judiciary of South Sudan, will constitute a panel of three justices of Supreme Court to review this case, and then after that, after they review the case, they will confirm the judgment.
The victim's mother, 28-year-old Awek Nyot, calls her daughter's mother the worst nightmare a mother can experience.
What Sabir did to my family is something horrible. The reason that let me stay with Sabir together was that I don't have anywhere to stay. So my husband asked Sabir to allow us to stay because he was the one that was renting the house.
Yod says many people warned her about Absin, but she did not listen.
A young girl that was related to me came and Sabir called her inside and said that I want to date you. That little girl said no, and he grabbed her hand and pulled her inside. And that little girl was Adeng. That girl didn't tell me at the beginning until I went to my workplace. This is the first time I came to know about Sabi.
Awil town resident Maria Angelo Charles says the verdict of the death by hanging will serve as a deterrent to others.
The judgment was fair. The person was finally to be hanged to death. And then the other person who was his counterpart is also to be imprisoned for 5 years, which is going to set a good example for others who will be willing also to do the same thing.
Charles advised parents and authorities in Awil County to take reports of rape seriously. A third accused, 30-year-old Ahmed Hassan Adam, was acquitted of all charges last week. For VOA News, I am Sheila Pony in Awil, Northern Bahar El Ghazal State.
Listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a top UN diplomat is asking authorities in South Sudan to protect children. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. the question today.
Do you know any first aid techniques?
Come to think of this question, I thought I do, but seriously, I think I may not be able to do too well if there is any situation present. Maybe it's something I need to go and learn how to do. It could help somebody tomorrow.
During our school days, the Red Cross Society, the clubs that we joined, they taught us a lot. When a child runs high temperature, you sponge the child with water from the leg to the head. Then you just rush the person to the hospital for best treatment.
In case if you have drowned maybe from water, the first aid technique that is available to be given is a kiss of life to a person that has drowned into water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The Special Representative of the UN Secretary General for Children and Armed Conflict says efforts to protect children in conflict settings in South Sudan should be sustained after achieving the notable progress in the last 2 years. Virginia Gamba concluded a visit to South Sudan on Friday, during which she met with President Salva Kiir, First Vice President Riek Machar, and other government officials to follow up on a 2020 comprehensive action plan to end and prevent all violations against children in South Sudan. She tells Nabil Biagio about a national conference on children and armed conflict that she launched in Juba last week.
This conference is one of the activities that were agreed to by all parties to conflict in South Sudan with the United Nations in the year 2020, when we signed a comprehensive action plan to end and prevent all 6 grave violations against children in South Sudan. As part of this action plan, a national conference for the protection and prevention of all children in South Sudan had to be called that would be inclusive of civil society, NGOs, and every region, local authorities within South Sudan.
It has been more than 2 years since South Sudan's army and opposition forces signed this comprehensive action plan for the protection of children. How do you assess what has happened in the interim, and how do you describe the situation with children and armed conflict in South Sudan today?
First of all, we have noticed a significant decrease in all 6 grave violations: recruitment and use, killing and maiming, abduction, sexual violence, attacks on schools and hospitals, and denial of humanitarian access, which are the 6 grave violations in South Sudan, used to be one of the 3 highest numbers of violations in the year 2018. But when the revitalized peace agreement was reached, and then a commitment was made to stop and prevent the 6 grave violations by 2020, these numbers have dropped so significantly that, let's say, by last year, they were within, in some cases, 1 or 2 numbers. In other cases, a little bit over like 50 cases in a year on each violation. So there's been a significant decrease. There is clearly political will to stop the recruitment and use of children, as well as try to contain as much as possible the 6 grave violations.
And in the press statement you guys released on the 25th of May, your office said impunity for grave violations against children in South Sudan continues today. And you have just met with President Kiir in this recent visit and other officials. What did you tell them about impunity, and what are they doing about it?
I called on a special project that would assist in stopping impunity and ensuring the correct application of the existing legislation on criminalizing the 6 grave violations. I think the problem was that in the past 3 years, the government did put in place laws criminalizing these 6 grave violations, but we saw very few cases, if any, where perpetrators that were found were actually prosecuted. To that end, I discussed with the president as well as with the chief of the cabinet, of the ministerial cabinet, and with all the ministers at cabinet level, the need to reinforce the capacity of South Sudan to be able to implement the law. And my suggestion, which was, I think, well received by the president and the cabinet, was to create a child protection expertise focal point within the Ministry of Justice to train prosecutors and oversight the process of implementing the law so that we can see prosecutions taking place.
What needs to happen with urgency to make South Sudan a safe place for children?
What we need is much more both international support and resources for the reintegration of released children from conflict through reintegration centers that need to be created across all the regions of South Sudan. That requires the commitment from both the international community as well as national authorities to create a safe space for children to recover from the plight of armed conflict. There needs to be much more efforts between peace building and education tied to employment of youth in a meaningful way in South Sudan. I want to stress one item. The only road to the development and prosperity, as well as stopping all violations against children in South Sudan, lies in peace. So peace is a prerequisite for everything else in South Sudan.
That was Virginia Gamba, Special Representative of the United Nations Secretary General for Children and Armed Conflicts, speaking with my colleague Nabil Biagio here in Washington. From Washington, we move to South Africa, where fears of wheat shortages continue to grow in Africa due to the continuing war between Russia and Ukraine. However, economists in South Africa say the country will not likely experience any shortages. They say it has enough wheat in stock and plenty is being planted in the current winter cropping season. For VOA News, Thuso Khumalo reports from Johannesburg.
South Africa's rising food prices had raised rumors that the country was already running out of some basic commodities, especially wheat, due to the war in Ukraine. However, Helen Filioen, intern economist at Grain South Africa, told VOA that there is enough wheat in stock to last till the end of the year.
Russia and Ukraine is not the main countries that we import wheat from. We mainly import wheat from Poland and from Australia. So in terms of imports for wheat for grains, we are not that dependent on Russia and Ukraine.
She said most of the increase in food prices are mainly due to the increase in global petroleum prices directly influenced by the war. She admits, though, that South Africa does import a lot of wheat.
So on average, we import about 1.5 million tons of wheat over the last 3 years. And this year, we have already imported 1 million tons from Argentina and Australia. The effect of the war has not been that big on our stock availability in South Africa.
Food security specialist Fenji Materechera says that South Africa's sources of wheat imports have reported having enough stock and farmers have enough in the fields.
Even though we can anticipate that there will be medium to long-term trade flow pattern changes, we are actually expecting there to be an increase in plantings, which should ideally result in an increase in yields.
She also insists that even in the long term, South Africa will not run out of wheat, although she admits that the prices of some food oils in the country have already started rising due to the impact of the war. However, she says the country will not run short of food anytime soon.
As far as the food security goes at a national level and the supply of staples like maize and wheat, We are looking at projections for a stable supply in the upcoming planting season that should put the country at ease.
South Africa imports 40% of its wheat. Only a third of this amount comes from Russia and Ukraine. However, some expect that if the war continues, the global impact of that will end up affecting South Africa too. Thuso Khumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now end the show with Jamnazi Africa and the song My Sweetheart. Listening to Jamnazi Africa and the song My Sweetheart. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking your time to be with us. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.